Sindhya Prasahya Rushitam Masatim Prabhuschet.
Sindhya Prasahya Rushitam Masatim Prabhuschet.
Jivamasunapi Tato Vishwajet Sadharma.
Jivamasunapi Tato Vishwajet Sadharma. Karnam Pidaya Nirayaya Kalpaishe. Dharma vidarya sravir virasya mane Chindya prasayar dhadim madadim prabhuschen Chivamadu nabidado vishrajet sadharma Karnau pidaya nirayana kalpaishe Dharma vidarya shrivir virasya mane Yat prasehar sadim asadim prabhushe Jivamasuna vidato vishrujet sadharmaha Karnau vidhaya nirayaya kalpaishe Dharma vidarya shrinivir virasya mane Chindyat prasahya rusatim asatim prabhushe Jivamasuna vidato vishrujet sadharmaha Karnau pidaya nirayana kalpaishe Dharma vidarya shrivir virasya mane Chindya prasaya rasatim asatim prabhushe Jivamasuna vidato vishrujet sadharmaha
Karnau,
ears,
Hidaya,
blocking,
Niraya, one should go away,
yet, if
Akalpa, unable, Ishe,
master,
Dharma
Vidari,
controller of religion,
Ashwinibi,
by irresponsible, Nribi, the persons, Asyamani, being blasphemed, Chindya,
he should cut,
Prasahya,
by force,
Rushatim,
vilifying,
Asatim,
blasphemer,
Prabhu,
one is able,
Chet,
if
Jivam,
tongue,
Asun,
life,
api,
certainly,
tata,
then,
Vishrajet,
should give up,
sa,
that,
dharma,
is the process.
Translation study continued. If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheming the master and controller of religion, one should block his ears and go away if unable to punish him. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemer's tongue and kill the offender, and after that one should give up his own life. Purport, the argument offered by Sati is that a person who vilifies a great personality is the lowest of creatures. But by the same argument, Dakshi could also defend himself by saying that since he was a Prajapati, master of all living creatures and one of the great officers of the great universal affairs, his position was so exalted that Sati should accept his good qualities instead of vilifying him. And so that argument is that Sati was not vilifying, but defending, if possible, she should have cut off Daksha's tongue because he blasphemed Lord Shiva. In other words, since Lord Shiva is the protector of religion, a person who vilifies him should be killed at once, and after killing such a person, one should give up one's own life. That is the process, but because Daksha happened to be the father of Sati, she decided not to kill him. but to give up her own life in order to compensate for the great sinship committed by hearing the blasphemy of Lord Shiva. The instruction set forth here in Srimad Bhagavatam is that one should not tolerate at any cost the activities of a person who blasphemes or vilifies or blasphemes an authority. If one is a brahmana, he should not give up his body, because by doing so he would be responsible for killing a brahmana. Therefore, a brahmana should leave the place or block his ears so that he will not hear the blasphemy. If one happens to be a kshatriya, he has the power to punish any man. Therefore, kshatriya should at once cut off the tongue of the vilifier and kill him. But as far as the vaishyas and sudras are concerned, they should immediately give up their bodies. Sati decided to give up her body because she thought herself to be among the sudras and vaishyas. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sriya Vaishyata Sudra, women laborers and mercantile class are on the same level. Thus, since it is recommended that Vaishyas and Sudras should immediately give up their bodies upon hearing blasphemy and insult the person of Lord Shiva, she decided to give up her life. Text 18, therefore I shall no longer bear this unworthy body which has been received from you, who have blasphemed Lord Shiva. If someone has taken food which is poisonous, the best treatment is to vomit. Purport, since Sati was the representation of the external potency of the Lord, it was in her power to vanquish many universes, including many dakshas, but in order to save her husband from the charge that he employed his wife such to kill daksha, because he could not do so due to his inferior position, she decided to give up her body. Text 19, it is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others. Elevated transcendentalists may sometimes forgo the rules and regulations of the Vedas, so they do not need to follow them. Just as demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary men travel on the surface of the earth. Purport, the behavior of the most elevated transcendentalists and that of the most fallen conditioned souls appears to be the same. Elevated transcendentalists surpass all the regulations of the Vedas, just as the demigods traveling in space surpass all the jungles and rocks on the surface of the globe, although a common man who has no such ability to travel in space has to face all these impediments. Although the most dear Lord Shiva appears not to observe all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, he is not affected by such disobedience. But a common man who wants to imitate Lord Shiva is mistaken. A common man must observe all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, which a person who is in the transcendental position does not need to observe. Daksha found fault with Lord Shiva for not observing all the strict rules and regulations of the Vedas, but Sati asserted that he had no need to observe such rules. It is said that for one who is powerful like the sun or the fire, there is no consideration of purity or impurity. The sunshine can sterilize an impure place, whereas if someone else were to pass such a place, he would be affected. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva, rather one should follow one's prescribed occupational duties. One should never vilify the great personality like Lord Shiva. Translation study continued. One hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master controller of religion. One should block his ears and go away if unable to punish him. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemer's tongue and kill the offender, and after that one should give up his own life. Therefore I shall no longer bear this unworthy body which has been received from you who have blasphemed Lord Shiva. If someone has taken food which is poisonous, the best treatment is to vomit. It is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others. Elevated transcendentalists may sometimes forgo the rules and regulations of the Vedas, since they do not need to follow them. This is the demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary people travel on the surface of the earth. So here we have maybe the conclusion of Sati's talk. She concludes by saying that she will kill herself because of the blasphemy of Daksha, her father. And she comes to this conclusion based upon certain prescriptions in the scriptures. So the scriptures say that one should not tolerate blasphemy of a great person. blasphemy of oneself is not a problem, but to blaspheme someone who is respected in the scriptures is intolerable. So one should not listen to that person at all, or one should go away if possible. And then it says one can kill the person and cut out his tongue and then give up one's life. So these are extreme measures. And of course, killing in normal cases is not advised, but it's permitted by the kshatriya, who is the one who can punish. So Sati was in a rather helpless position, so she decided simply to kill herself, so she no longer got the offense of hearing that blasphemy. And of course, the other point is that she was also felt ashamed of having Daksha as her father because of his bad conduct. So she concludes by saying that actually those who are beyond the rules don't have to follow the rules. Those who are not beyond the rules must follow the rules. So those who are following the rules should not criticize those who are beyond the rules if they don't follow. And the example is given as devatas fly in the air, whereas human beings don't. So therefore, the devatas do not have to walk on the surface of the earth. So why we should criticize them? So similarly, those who are transcendental to the material world do not have to follow the laws. The laws are meant for people who are conditioned in order to raise them up above the gunas. If one is above the gunas, then and fixed there, then one does not have to follow those rules anymore. The rules have a purpose. When the rules are fulfilled, one no longer needs to follow them. So this is the logical argument given. So therefore, one should not imitate or a person who is on that level if one is not on that level, and one should also not criticize that person if that person seemingly breaks the rules that we follow. In other words, the rules of Dharma are meant for the people of this world because they are conditioned. And the whole purpose is to, by these rules, raise them up. Once they are beyond the rules, they don't have to follow. For that reason, Bhagavatam clearly says, if one takes to the process of bhakti, one has surpassed Dharma. Therefore, one doesn't have to follow the rules of Dharma anymore. But to give up the rules of Dharma in the process of practicing bhakti is not a sin. To practice all the rules of Dharma and not do bhakti, that is worse, much worse. It's all useless. So, therefore, if one is takes to bhakti, one is transcendental. If one is practicing Dharma, that the one is in the most material nature trying to get out. If one practices bhakti, one has beyond the modes. So one does not need to practice anymore. So that is the general principle. Of course, people will criticize who are attached to Dharma. The people that don't follow Dharma, they will criticize. They say you are a blancher or whatever. But yes, some people are. Some people that don't follow the rules of Dharma are lower. They're fallen. But others who don't follow are higher. So one has to be very careful and make distinctions. Daksha didn't do that. And he took off his other personality. No, he's so low, he's going to follow the rules that we're following. Yeah? So this is ignorance. So one has to be careful not to criticize those great persons who seem to deviate from the normal rules. That is also apparent in bhakti. In the Nectar Devotion that Rupa Goswami says, one should not criticize the person on bhava because he may not follow the rules that we follow in society. He is beyond Varnashram Dharma. So his conduct may be completely different from ours, so we should not criticize him in any way. And if we do, then we can make offense. So we have examples of that. For instance, a person like Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji. People would look at him and they thought he was a crazy man. He would just sit by the Ganga and eat chilies or whatever. And, he looked very crazy, and many people thought that. But Bhagavad Sangha says, no, he's an exalted devotee of the Lord. He's always absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. And similarly, Bhagavad did things, and people would criticize him. He would chant japa in the latrine. So people would say, well, look, he's contaminating the bees or whatever like that. So he wanted to do that because people would bother him. So if he went to the dirty place, no one would come there. And then that way he would be free to chant as much as he wanted to. So people will criticize that conduct. But they are beyond the normal conduct of people of this world because they are on a higher level. So one has to be very careful, therefore, that one does not criticize in this way. So one comes to the prema level, then, of course, one cannot even predict what the person is going to do. And Rupa Goswami says one cannot even understand that person at all. It's impossible to understand his conduct at all. So, therefore, one has to be very careful in relation to spiritually advanced persons. What to speak of the Supreme Lord? So we have a person like Shiva, who's actually an expansion of Vishnu, and he acts very strange. We cannot criticize. It's the same thing. We think, oh, he is not even up to the standard of normal people in this world because he's unclean, etc. So, well, then people will criticize like this, but we have to be very, very careful. So if one has knowledge of the scriptures, proper knowledge of the scriptures, then of course we can avoid such offenses. So we have to understand very clearly the different persons. So in the Nectar Devotion also says one of the rules, you know, first 20 angas of bhakti is do not criticize devatas. So one may criticize Shiva, or one may criticize Kali. Kali looks ghastly, and she has skulls around her neck, and she has a sword in her hand. So then one may criticize her. But how can we do that? She is also the wife of Shiva. Exalted. So we have to be very careful. External appearances may look strange, but we should not criticize these persons. Of course, under normal circumstances, the Lord also follows Dharma. Because he says, if I don't follow, what will other people do? So what great people do, others follow. So under normal circumstances, the Lord does this. But sometimes he doesn't do that. So the prime example of that is the gopis. So Krishna has all the gopis as his lovers. And this is against Dharma. So again, normal people may criticize. He's breaking Dharma. So what kind of example is he for everybody? So again, we have to be very, very careful, and we have to look at the scriptures very carefully to see this. So ultimately, Dharma is for the material world, and the Supreme Lord is beyond Dharma. In many cases, he will follow Dharma to set a nice example for the people of the world. Ultimately, he is not obligated by this. And of course, if one breaks the rules of Dharma out of love of Krishna, that shows the strength of that love. So therefore, the rules of Dharma are simply, we can say, impediments which help express the great love that the gopis have for Krishna. So therefore, Dharma there is just used as a means of increasing prema, that's all, in the pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna comes in the material world and he protects Dharma, he establishes Dharma, etc. So to some extent he does follow. But we should not think that he is bound by Dharma. He has qualities which are similar to the qualities praised in scripture, but the qualities praised in scripture are often material qualities in sattva gun. The Lord is not sattva gun, he is beyond those qualities. So he has qualities which are similar to those. And therefore his conduct will be similar to people of this material world. But actually he's beyond the Dharma of the material world. So in many cases we can say that spiritual conduct is similar to the conduct of Dharma. But in some cases it's different. So so the difference is there in Krishna and the gopis, for instance. Huh? Where is it similar? It's similar in many other aspects. Krishna is very merciful. Krishna protects his devotees. This is like Dharma. So many of the points of Dharma and Supreme Lord correspond, but sometimes they may differ also. So all the qualities of Krishna are spiritual, and the qualities of Dharma are material. So we have to make a distinction there. So the Supreme Lord is beyond all of this, and the people of the material world in general are bound up by these rules and regulations. And they will tend to criticize others who don't follow those rules. But they have to be careful, because they may criticize the wrong person. The person may be superior beyond the rules. If inferior, yes, they should encourage them to follow. But if they are beyond the rules, then they cannot criticize. So one has to have good knowledge in order to avoid such offenses.
Then he went to the altar with his shoe, put a garland and watched him in the altar. After that he got back to his yajita with his shoe, then he stepped on the yajita. Come back to the altar.
It is said that the deities in regard to the rules in regard to the deity, those are the seva parad, they're mentioned also in the nectar devotion. From quoting from different Puranas, like shouting in front of the deity or coming unclean before the deity, etc. So in relation to that, actually Vishwanath says that those rules usually, if they are broken by the devotee, they're not really serious infractions. Yeah? Because usually the devotee will break those rules, not because on purpose, but simply because of his attachment to the Lord. That's more than the rule itself. So if he's in a hurry or something like that, he may sometimes neglect some of these rules. And so there is a verse in the Bhagavatam that says, but anyway, if he is in a hurry, sometimes he may neglect some of these rules or whatever in terms of seva. And it looks like an offense also, but these are not really serious infractions because of his great eagerness to serve the Lord. So therefore they're not considered very serious. And his servants were very angry.
He
also permitted, Bhaktisiddhanta also permitted his devotees who were cooking on Jamasthami to eat grains. They could eat rice if they were cooking, did heavy work. So he told them to eat rice. Yeah, so we have to see if they're actually on that level. We have to be careful, of course. At the same time, sometimes we can understand that a person is only acting or whatever, he's not really on that level, because we see by the rest of his conduct that he is not that level. But if someone is actually always absorbed in the Supreme Lord, then we have to really think. This person must, you know, he must be on my level.
The nature of the woman is even if there is good service, small mistake for you just make very big in they find small mistake is a very big offense and they start as example in the world. And somebody is doing very nice.
Well, that is fault called fault finding. Mm-hmm. We should not unnecessarily fault find. So Krishna says in terms of dharma, even if you do dharma, there may be some fault there. So we cannot avoid fault in the material world. So similarly in bhakti, there may look like a fault also because we're not perfect. But the fact that we are doing bhakti, that is the good point. So unless that fault is such that it is going to obstruct the bhakti in a great way, then we tolerate it. And with the practice of bhakti, it should disappear. The process of bhakti is the process of going beyond the mode. So if they practice seriously in good association, then they should rise above those tamagun, rajagun, sattva. There's no other process. We can't use something outside of bhakti to do that.
One time I took Prabhupada out of morning walk in 1975 in London. And we were talking to the British Museum. And we went very close that time in 1975. We looked at all the things and said, we're going there for the time to closer. And after that he said to me, I can't fall down, but we all made Prabhupada.
Well, I guess people have practice, that's all. They have to put it into practice somehow. Repetition. By learning a principle, then trying to practice it over and over again, then they can give up. Think bad habit. So a bad habit has to be given up by constant practice. Maybe it'll take lifetimes, who knows?
Thank you.